I hope that you tell it. It's easy to behave as though the story that we have to tell has to please the hearer. But it doesn't. It rarely does. The story that we have to tell has to please the source of the story. And if we tell that story in a way that pleases the Lord, we've done our job. That's what outreach is all about. And whether you're telling part of the story because the conversation with a stranger kind of came out of nowhere and you said what you could and that's what the Lord gave you, or because someone approached you, wanted to do a Bible study or something, we ought to tell the story in a way that pleases the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, I'm just going to read one verse, but it's our text tonight, and we're going to consider what the Lord has for us in this verse tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, which says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would teach us tonight. Your word has a depth of wisdom and knowledge and truth that we cannot possibly plumb completely. Lord, we cannot cover all that you have, even in a particular verse in one service. But Lord, we do ask that you teach us and help us to understand some of these things tonight. Help us to take something away that we can apply the rest of this week and the rest of our lives, Lord willing. Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to open our hearts, not to the speaker, but to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Of course, we know that counsel is important. This is something that is a very basic Bible truth. Counsel is important. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, talks a lot about counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, people fall. With much counsel, there is safety." It's important. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Proverbs 27:9, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." And there's much more that we could read and consider from the scriptures about the fact that counsel is important. Do you get counsel? Do you look for counsel? Do you listen to counsel? Do you hearken to it? We know that we should get counsel, whatever that means. I'm going to get counsel. I know that's important. For me in my life, when it comes to making a decision, I need to get counsel. I need to find out what this counsel should be in my situation. But as Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, it isn't necessarily an easy process. Here's how the process of getting counsel can often go for us in our lives. Number one, what I've called the consultant method. And that means that we go to that one person, somebody in your life that you really trust, you really look up to them, you think highly of their spirituality, their wisdom, their knowledge, their experience, and you go to that one person and you ask them what you should do. And more often than not, you tend to follow that advice. That's one way to go about getting counsel. Another way to get counsel, we could call it the survey method, and that would be we go to many people that we trust. To varying degrees, we trust this person more than this person, but we trust all of these people to some extent, and so we talk to them, and we look for some agreement. What do they think we should do? And we kind of find a pattern of, what am I hearing? What are they telling me? And then we end up thinking, well, you know, if they all say that this particular action is the right thing to do, I trust that. I trust that the majority is right, and so we'll go with that. That we might say that's the survey method. And I want to make it clear that neither of those are necessarily wrong. Both of those can be things, processes that God can use. They can be profitable in our lives. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it that way. I'm just saying that's often how we do it. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 deals with a different approach to counsel. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. It's important that we define some words to know what we're dealing with here. What is Solomon talking about? Well, the word counsel, as defined by Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word counsel means advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise for directing the judgment or conduct of another. It is opinion given upon deliberation or consultation. It's probably a definition that you could have assumed or predicted. The word advice, as defined by Webster's 1828, the word advice means counsel, an opinion recommended or offered as worthy to be followed. And we might say, well, they're basically saying, you know, counsel is advice, and advice is counsel, and they are an opinion recommended by people. And that's kind of confusing, and legitimately so, because we often interchange those words. Well, I'm going to go get some advice. Well, are you getting some advice, or are you getting counsel? Yes. They're synonyms often in our vernacular. But Solomon doesn't use these words as synonyms. They aren't copies. They aren't redundant. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 20. Look down to verse 18. You're already in chapter 20. Look at verse 18. That verse says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Counsel and advice. And you might say, well, it's just a restatement. That there's two halves of the verse. The first half is being restated by the second half. But in this particular verse, these two English words come from different Hebrew words. Solomon isn't talking about the same thing. They aren't synonyms in Proverbs. The word counsel, the word that we from which we get counsel, is never translated as advice in Proverbs. Solomon separates these two things. So while the English dictionary might have a very similar definition, Solomon has a little bit different one between these two words. And we'll see that as we go along here. He says in verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. The word purpose means that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. Listen to this. The end or aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. The end, the object to be reached or accomplished. And I was thinking about a way to sort of describe specifically what it's talking about here. And if you'd imagine with me a king of a kingdom, and he knows his kingdom has some issues. He's concerned about his kingdom being self-sustaining and his citizens being happy, being fulfilled, being profitable, but he sees that that's missing, and so he doesn't really know what needs to be done, what needs to be supplemented to fix this issue, and so he consults some experts. He finds out, you know, what are we dealing with? What's going on? What are we missing to create the result that we see? And his experts, the people that he's consulted, his cabinet, come to show him, and he realizes that his nation needs a better economic situation, a better economic environment. And so as he begins to consider how to improve the economical condition of his country, his attention is drawn to a neighboring region that has a lot of the resources and a lot of the assets that he needs, and he decides that he's going to annex that region into his kingdom. But he knows that that region isn't going to do that willingly. And so he decides that in order to fix the issue with his nation, he needs to take that region by force, to enter into war. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. If you're going to win the war, you need to have good advice on how to wage war. What is the purpose to win the war? How do you do it? Well, According to this verse, and as Solomon is describing it here, you use advice to actually put the plans of the war into place. The goal is, the purpose is to win the war. That's the end goal. We use advice on how to accomplish that. The king's purpose is to improve his own kingdom, and so he gathers his general to advise him on the quickest and easiest ways to make war and win the war. We might say it this way: counsel seeks to answer this question. What purpose is needed? What purpose is important? What end goal should I have? Counsel seeks to answer that question. Advice seeks to answer the question, how do I accomplish this purpose? I need to get from point A to B. How do I get there? How do I do it? It's important to note that sincerity is completely separate from counsel and advice. Sincerity answers the question, do I want to do what is right? And I think a lot of people want to do what is right. You go out in the world, and there are probably very few people who say, this is right, this is wrong, and I just want to do wrong. They might love to do wrong, but they don't probably see it as wrong. They see it as right. They're trying to do right. They might have a very perverted and warped standard of what is right, as the Bible reveals, but they're trying to do what is right. They might be very, very sincere. They might have, as being a sincere person, they might have very wrong purposes. Sincere people can do this a lot, often. A sincere person with right purposes can also follow bad advice. Of course, you could have good advice on how to accomplish something, but that goal is not the main purpose. And so every piece is important. We need to be sincere. We need to want to do the right thing. We need to have the right purposes or end goals, and we need to have good advice, the best way to accomplish those end goals. Each piece is important. So we've defined purposes. We've defined counsel and advice. But what is this proverb saying in Proverbs 20, verse 5? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Well, in the first half here, we see the heart. It's important to notice that it says counsel in the heart of man. It doesn't say counsel in the mind or the brain of man, the thinking of man. It's counsel in the heart. The Bible teaches us what the heart is. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Jesus, in that passage, Matthew 15, is teaching that what we eat, what we put into our physical body, doesn't defile us spiritually. The things that defile us are what come out of the heart. And of course, we know that the heart is the center of our being. The heart is who you really are in private. The heart is what you are when nobody's looking. Counsel in the heart of man. Not just, oh, I learned how to do that once, let me just tell you what I know. It is something much deeper than that. Purposes in the heart of man. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Deep water. Couple of things that deep water can be referring to. You think of the ocean. That is water that is deep. There is much water there. It is deep water. Or it could be water that is far below the surface. And the second half of the verse indicates that that's what's being talked about here. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. They drew the water out. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. If you've ever gotten water out of a well, I don't think I ever have. I just turn on the faucet. I'm pretty good at that. But if you've ever drawn water out of a well, depending on the depth of the well, you know that it's a lot of work. It might be a bucket attached to a rope that you put, you know, let down by hand and then pull it back up. It might be one of those turnstiles, those kind of spooling it up, kind of cranking up the rope that way. But regardless, depending on how much water you're pulling up and how deep it is, it takes some work. It takes some effort. Of course, we think of a pump, and that can take some effort as well. But I think drawing buckets of water, especially you remember the story of Abraham's servant who went to find a wife for Isaac, and he prayed and said, God, if you direct me to the woman, help me to know who it is by her offering to water the camels. Camels drink a lot of water, and drawing that much water out of a well is a lot of work. And Rebecca did that, and that was God's way of pointing out this woman to Abraham's servant. She went to a lot of trouble to draw that water up for those camels. Drawing water out of a well is a lot of work. It takes some effort. It takes some time. And counsel in the heart of man, who you really are, man or woman, who you really are deep down inside, it can take some work to draw that out. It's not as simple as, you know, well, how do you change the oil in your car? Well, let me tell you, we're talking about purposes and goals. What's the point of my life? What purpose should I have for my life? That can be hard to draw out. Take some effort. Take some work. A man of understanding. A man who has understanding. Somebody who is characterized by that. They're resourceful. They're clever. They're skilled. They've acquired some knowledge, some ability here. A man of understanding can draw this out. It takes some understanding to go deep below the surface and pull up the counsel out of the heart of a man. I'd like us to apply this in a couple of different ways. First of all, see how it is applied in somebody else's life, but then consider our own lives and how it can apply to us. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. And maybe the point I'm trying to make isn't quite connecting. Maybe it's not quite clear yet. Hopefully it will be after these examples that we see. 1 Kings chapter 12, we see counsel being sought by Rehoboam. Look at verse 1 in chapter 12, 1 Kings 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David." So Israel departed unto their tents. And if you know the story, you know that Israel was divided at this point. Rehoboam sought counsel. He sought it from two groups of people. And he asked them, how should I answer? He asked the old men, and they gave one answer. He asked the young men, they gave a different answer. Of course, we know that he followed what the young men advised him to say. This is a classic example of a partially correct process of getting counsel. We might commend Rehoboam for asking for it. Good job, Rehoboam. You asked for counsel. That's an important step. Too often, we like to just say, "Well, I know. I can figure this out. I don't need help. I'll do this on my own. Thank you very much." But Rehoboam didn't do that. He asked for help. He asked for counsel from the old men who had more experience, who had a different perspective than he did. Partially correct, but of course, he didn't follow good counsel. His question, "How do ye advise that I may answer this people?" What do I need to say to them? What should I say? Not a bad question. He desired to know what to do. If we think about Proverbs 20, verse 18, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war," we would say that he was requesting advice. What should I do? What should I do? How should I act? He wasn't asking for counsel. What are the purposes that I should be trying to accomplish here? He just wanted to know what to do. And it's easy to take that step because we think we already know what the purpose should be. We know what the end goal should be. So just tell me what I need to do. Tell me how to get it done. The old men gave him a non-specific answer that he didn't like. I say non-specific because they didn't tell him what to say. They gave him something more vague or general than that. 1 Kings 12:7, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." The old men did tell him how the kind of attitude he should have, but they didn't tell him what to say exactly. The young men gave him a specific answer that he did like. "Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions." And we see that that's what he said. Here's what you need to say, king. This is what you need to do. I know what you need to do. They didn't talk about purposes. They didn't talk about the end goal here. He followed poor counsel, and it resulted in a very bad result, a very negative result. It didn't have to be this way. So how do we apply it to us? Well, again, Proverbs 20, verse 5, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, water that is far below the surface. It's not easily seen. It's not easily detected. It's not easily drawn up." This counsel, do you want counsel? Do you desire it? "Well, I think I already know how I ought to live." Well, okay. A fool is right in his own eyes. And if God shows you something from Scripture, I'm not saying that you can't know anything for yourself. But if we don't want counsel, we don't want to ask for help, we don't want to ask God to maybe speak to us through another spiritual leader or a godly person, we're a fool if that's our attitude. But counsel is like deep water. Why does it take understanding to draw out counsel? But a man of understanding will draw it out. Why does it take that? Can't we just ask for counsel and that should be enough? "Hey, can you give me some counsel on this?" "Well, here you go. There, that was easy." Well, it can take understanding for a couple of different reasons. First of all, the counselee, the person asking for counsel, needs understanding. I would say that you have a lot of people in your life, many of them represented in this room. There are a lot of people in your life that have counsel that can help you in some area of life. But most people are not experienced or practiced counselors. They've got something they can offer you, but they don't have a lot of experience in giving it because they don't have an office and a sign that says counselor, and they don't have people coming to them. They don't have that practice, and you probably don't either. But just because they don't have practice or experience in that way doesn't mean they can't be helpful. You might say that a father has some valuable counsel on parenting. He might not be a very practiced or skilled counselor, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have anything to offer. A salesman might have some valuable counsel on communication. A contractor might have some very good counsel on problem solving. Here's how you react to issues that come up and solve the problem. They might have some very good counsel to offer, but they probably aren't experienced at doing that. So as the counselee, the person asking for help, if you know how to ask questions and dig beneath the surface, you will come upon some real jewels that can help you. If you just say, well, you know, you're a dad, what do you think I should do about this? Well, I've never dealt with that. So there's not much advice I can give you. Can take some more questions. Well, let's talk about this. Let me dig deeper. It takes understanding to do this. The counselee needs understanding to how to ask good questions and uncover this counsel. Again, this counsel is about the end goal, the purposes. What should I be concerned about here? What are the really important issues? I see this symptom, but is that the real issue? A counselor can help uncover some of those things. And that's why a biblical counselor who's experienced can be such a big help. Because you go to them and you describe your issues, and they can identify the main problems and things that are peripheral, things that are less important. It takes understanding to do this. And you can ask someone who is not a counselor, but with a little bit of digging, a little bit of understanding, you can uncover this valuable counsel. The young men who were advising Rehoboam just told him what he should say. Hey, you answer it this way. And they probably, I imagine, this attitude, this pride, even arrogance, kind of dripping. I imagine Rehoboam looking for something to kind of validate him personally. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how I envision it when I read the text. But these young men didn't talk about purposes. What are we after here? What's the end goal? What are we trying to accomplish long term? What are the values and the priorities in this situation? They just said, answer it this way, say this. They gave advice, but there wasn't really any discussion about purposes. Rehoboam either didn't understand the difference between end goals and purposes and advice, or he wasn't open to help regarding those purposes. Maybe he had already decided, my kingdom is going to be about me. I'm going to be a self-centered king. I'm going to exceed the glory that my father Solomon had. I'm going to make this about me. Maybe that was his purpose. We don't know. But he didn't ask for help regarding that. You can ask for counsel from people who aren't quote-unquote counselors. But it takes some understanding oftentimes to kind of draw out that important counsel. The counselee needs understanding, but the counselor needs understanding as well. Many times when somebody comes for counsel, they need help because they are needy. Maybe they're even foolish in some way. They're inexperienced. They're simple. They're naive. They haven't experienced this before. They don't know how this goes. They don't know what they should do. They need help. That's why they're asking for it. And it is very helpful to people like that when the counselor, the one who's being asked, when he employs or she employs understanding to draw the counsel out of their own heart. You know, you might have experience. Have you ever considered how you use that, how you use those life lessons. What has the Lord shown you? How has the Lord helped you to walk with him over the years? What has he done in your life to teach you things, to help keep you on the path that you ought to be? Have you ever stopped to consider how that helps you, how that guides you? What are the end goals? What are the purposes that end up forming and shaping in your life? You can offer those things to other people in the form of very valuable counsel. But if all we, and I don't know that anyone thinks of it this way, but sometimes we can think of it as just, this is what you do when this happens. You know, when your child says this to you, this is how you respond. And it can be very narrow advice that's hard to apply to a number of situations. As opposed to when your child has this kind of a heart condition, this is what you do from the scriptures to meet that need, to resolve that heart condition. Counsel. The counselor needs understanding. A man of understanding will draw it out. Somebody might need to draw it out of you. It's there, you have it, but they need to encourage you. You can draw it out yourself if you know what you're doing, if you have some understanding, if you understand what you're trying to accomplish. You're more ready to help people at that point. Good counsel doesn't happen accidentally. The old men counseling Rehoboam demonstrated this fact. They put the spotlight not on what Rehoboam should say. Say these words, Rehoboam. They didn't do that. They put the spotlight on the end goals. And here they are. Let me read for you 1 Kings 12:7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. They didn't say this. They didn't say wear this. They said, here's how you need to be. The end goals that they identified, first of all, humility. If thou wilt be a servant. Humility is important. You need to have humility in your life, Rehoboam. This is a tricky situation. This is touchy. It could go either way. Humility is really important. Humility resolves issues. You need to be thinking about humility. Humility is an important purpose in anyone's life. And Rehoboam, you're in a situation where if you don't respond with humility, it can make it all worse. Good counsel. They also said, here's an end goal, service. If thou wilt be a servant unto this people and wilt serve them. Not just an attitude of a servant, but the actions of a servant. What do they need? Have you thought about their needs? Have you thought about helping them? This isn't all about you. Yes, you're the king, but everybody's not here for you. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be doing what's right for them. Serve them. That's the end goal. That's what you ought to be thinking about. Humility, service, care for them, answer them and speak good words into them. Care about their lives. Don't just build the bridges or build the walls or dig the wells that they need. Care for them. What do they need? Find out. Kindness. Speak good words to them. Be kind. That's a good goal to have. Kindness is important. We can be insincere. We can speak kind words, but it doesn't come from the heart. That's not real kindness. That's just a facade. These elderly men said, these are important values, purposes. We're giving you real counsel. We're not telling you what to say. Put it in your words, but have these issues be real in your life. Have these conditions, these qualities be real in you. These are important end goals. Kindness. And what will that result? Humility and service, care, kindness. Well, that's going to result in reciprocated service. Service coming back. Then they will be thy servants forever. These old men are describing a mutually beneficial cycle. If you will be humble and be kind and serve them, they will do the same thing back. And it just keeps repeating itself. Rehoboam, are you listening? This is how a successful kingdom works. That's good counsel. That is good counsel. They didn't tell him what to say. They said, this is what needs to go on in your heart. And if you'll live this way, it will inspire and have this jumpstart effect to come back in their own heart toward you. It will calm down this tension. If Rehoboam had been interested by their counsel. That's interesting. So to be a servant and to serve them and answer, you know, speak kindly to them, what do you think I should say? That I hadn't even considered those purposes. How do you think I should go about this? How do I be a servant to them? How do I serve them? How do I care for them? How should I humble myself? What should I say? Now we're talking about advice here. Now we're talking about how to accomplish these end goals, but he didn't ask those questions. He heard their counsel, but he rejected it. It would have been easy for him to say, that's good counsel. What do I need to do to accomplish that? But he didn't do that. I mentioned that it's easy to approach a counselor. It's good to get counsel. It's good to go to that person, you know, that one person that you trust the most. It's good to go to those people that you trust. It's good to ask for help. But often we go to them and we say, what should I do? And it's not a bad question, but there's a better question, which is, do I have the right goals in mind? Do I have the right end goal that I'm trying to accomplish? Do I have the right priorities? Because sometimes we can want to do a good thing and we ignore the best thing. We could talk about the mechanics of a car. And if you had a choice between putting oil in your car or changing the tires, you know, your car's out of oil, there's no oil in there, or you could change the tires, we know pretty easily which one's more important. You can't drive more than maybe a couple of miles before your car will seize up without oil. Tires can wait. Tires are good. It's important to change tires, but there are things that are sometimes more important. Hey, I need to get counsel. How should I change the tires? Let's ask a better question. This is what I'm dealing with. What's my end goal? What should it be? What's the top priority? Get counsel. Don't just necessarily ask for advice. But we can often assume that we see it the right way. I don't need counsel, I need information. You know, there have been many times where mechanical issues are a good example. I am not all that knowledgeable when it comes to cars, and I'm thankful for YouTube, because my car can make a certain noise, or I see that something's broken, and I know that is broken and it needs to be replaced. I know what needs to be done. How do I do it? I'm just looking for information. I'm not looking for counsel. I'm looking for information. Tell me how to accomplish it. But a lot of times we can take that approach to life and we miss out on good counsel. It takes humility to ask, are my purposes and priorities right on this? Am I seeing this as the main issue? Is this really the main issue, or am I seeing it completely wrong? It takes a little more humility to ask for that. I know what I need to accomplish, just tell me how. That's often how we approach it. From the counselor perspective, it's easy to let self take over. Somebody comes and asks for help. Oh, I know what you should do. Let me tell you, you need to do it my way. I've been down this road. I know exactly what you need to do. Probably not the same situation exactly. Maybe similar, but we like to jump in and say, I have the information that you need. These old men didn't say, here's what you need to say. These old men put the spotlight on the end goals. What are we trying to accomplish here? They gave less specific counsel. It takes more humility to say, well, here are some priorities, some purposes that you should consider accomplishing. These are scripturally directed values. I'm not telling you what to do, and maybe the Bible would be very specific, but oftentimes life is specific enough. It's interesting enough, it's unique enough that the Bible doesn't speak directly to it. Our situation isn't found in a chapter and verse. And it takes more humility for a counselor to say, well, the Bible identifies these values as being important. And I think what you're seeing is this other thing, that's important too, but this issue is more important. And so you need to focus on this end goal. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you're asking how to do something, it might be fixing a part on a car, it might be fixing something on your house, you name it. If you're asking what is the best way to get something done, and you ask 10 different people or 20 different people, you might have 20 different answers. They're all somewhat close, but they're all a little bit different. And so it sort of becomes an advice buffet where you get to pick and choose what you like and just do that. But if you are asking godly counselors for their biblical answers to the end goal, what are we trying to accomplish? Where do we want to end up? Not every specific step on how to get there, but where do we want to end up? The process becomes a little more simple. Is it important? Is it more important to raise your children to know how to behave or to raise them so that they will actually meet Christ? Well, I think we know the answer to that. And so if I'm focused on just how do I get my children to outwardly conform their bodies to what I'm trying to get them to do, I'm going to miss the more important focus. I'm not saying they always have to be, those two things are always different, but they are not the same, and they're not the same in value. Getting good counsel helps you identify what is the most important priority, what is the most important end goal. How to get there becomes a much simpler issue when we identify the main issue and we set aside the minor ones. It helps to highlight the main solution. A good counselor begins to point out contributing solutions, but it takes understanding to draw that out, to draw that out of the heart of the counselor. So we've identified what counsel is and how it's important, but we've talked a lot about understanding. It's so important, so applicable, so necessary. Where does this understanding come from? How can we have it? Well, Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." As always, truth begins and ends with God. We need understanding to grow. We need understanding to see what this says and to apply it and to learn from it. We need understanding when we're asking for counsel. We need the Lord. The title of the message is The Hard Work of Counsel. Part of that hard work is the hard work of prayer. And I don't think anybody, I'm not saying anyone's prayerless, but I think sometimes maybe we can simplify the process of looking for counsel. I'll just go ask some people that I trust, and it becomes a human endeavor. But understanding comes from God. I'm thankful, though, that he doesn't hide his wisdom. He doesn't hide this understanding. He doesn't withhold it from those who seek it. Proverbs 8:1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" They're calling for attention. They're calling to be noticed. And we can have these. Of course, God teaches us from Scripture, and God uses his people to help each other. When it comes to us getting counsel, let's take care that we don't short-circuit the process of getting counsel and skip to the end. How to accomplish what I've decided I need to accomplish? Instead, let's ask, do I have the right goals? Am I identifying the right issue? Do I have the right end goal in mind? If we skip that process, we shortchange ourselves as well. When we identify the main objective, the most important thing, the main goal, then how to get there becomes more clear. Let's ask and give counsel biblically, and with understanding. Again, Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Let's have this understanding. We can benefit from each other's counsel. You and I have things we can offer each other. We have knowledge and wisdom that maybe we don't even realize, but it can be a help to each other. Let's get real counsel from Scripture, from the Spirit of God, from spiritual leaders, authorities, from each other, from peers, from friends. But it takes some hard work. Counsel is hard work, but it is profitable. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.